Praise the Lord. I'm going to have my wife and daughters come very quickly. And while they're coming, one thing I want to quickly mention. I know that your ladies' retreat is next week, I believe, for the district. But I want to say that Mother's Memorial is a great blessing. Very quickly, there is a Bible college student that he was a young preacher, very on fire for God, engaged, had a job. Everything was going well until the devil thought that he was going to throw a wrench in the plans. And so false charges against him were drummed up. In fact, it may have been a case of mistaken identity. And he was there in jail. He lost his job and he really hadn't got it back even when we had left Greece. And he had to postpone his marriage. So the devil thought that he had victory. While he was in jail, he began to teach Bible studies and he began to witness. And you know that as a result of that, they have people that are in the church in Athens today because he began to tell others about God. And so that is one of the stories of many. Very quickly, my daughter was not here this morning, but she wanted to say something here tonight. And this is Esther, 6 years old, and Naomi, 22 months old.
And he said unto them, go into all the roads and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Grace me, Jesus. Please help us go.
And my wife is not going to say something tonight. She spoke this morning because of time, but thank you all. And I know we had a couple of projects mentioned. One of them is our shipping, also our language study. And these are certain projects that we are raising to help us do certain things, such as learn the language. And when we go there, ship things back. But in our case, most of it is buy things because we sold everything when we moved to the field. But we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And let's just worship the Lord and have a good time.
If our ushers can come. As he had mentioned, they do have, it's very expensive to ship things across the ocean, but their shipping expenses are going to run about $11,200. They also have language study that is $8,960. So they're able to take and learn the Grecian language, and we want to be able to take and help them out with this. If you're going to be writing a check, you can make that check out to Calvary Gospel Church Global Missions, and you can write down shipping or language study on the memo there. We'll make sure that that gets into their account here and such. So let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. Once again, we ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon Brother and Sister Moreno, Lord, as they head to the country of Greece. Lord, we want to do our part. We want to help them to get there so they can continue to spread the gospel and not lose any momentum while they are stateside here. We ask you, Lord, that a blessings would be upon them in this offering. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as I said, they've raised a lot of their funds. They've raised their educational funds. They've raised their evangelism funds. And they've raised their plane fare for their family, which is $14,560 in plane fares just to get them over to the country of Greece. But we're going to have him, while we continue to take the offering up, we're going to have him come, and he's going to preach to us tonight. God bless you, brother.
If you would please stand with me while they're taking the offering. Don't want to disturb anything, but once again, I want to say thank you to Pastor Grant, Bishop Grant, and all you wonderful people here at Calvary Gospel Church for the opportunity to be with you all. It's been a great time. If you would turn with your Bibles, and with the help of those in the back, if you don't have a Bible, I think they'll project it on the screen. And the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. And then also, we're going to read another scripture from Matthew chapter 4 verse 12. First of all, Isaiah 9:2, the Bible says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And for the next few moments, with the help of God, I'm going to preach upon the simple subject about when Jesus punches a hole to the darkness. Jesus, in your precious name, God, we pray that you would punch a hole through any darkness today in somebody's life, God. We bind up any demonic spirits, Jesus, that may try to hinder the flow of your spirit, God. And we pray here tonight, we lose faith, God, and liberty in your house. We pray this in your precious name. Everyone say, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated here tonight. And so, darkness, many times in the scripture, is used to describe sin. It can be used to describe Satan's domain or his working. A spiritually dark place, a place that is spiritually dark, is a place where sin and wickedness may prevail, where demonic spirits may have erected strongholds. But I want to tell you tonight, in its simplest sense, that darkness is simply an absence of light. If the lights would turn off in the building across here and everyone would hit the switches, this place would be plunged into darkness. Along with that, Satan has only enough power in your life as you give him, unless in the case of Job, God allows him to touch you or to test you. I want to tell you tonight, even if the Lord pulled back the curtain of protection, Satan may try to come up against me. He may try to oppose the church. But nevertheless, Satan does not have power over my will. Satan does not have power over my faith. Satan does not have power over my praise and my worship unto God. Demonic spirits, I know that those across the church, there may be certain heads of home. And along with that, let me tell you, you may be a single parent. You may be a single mom. For all intents and purposes, you are the head of that home. Or maybe there's a single person living on their own. But if you are the head of a home, demonic spirits have only enough authority in that home as you give them. And I'll tell you one thing. I have two beautiful daughters and a beautiful wife. I have purposed in my heart that I am not going to give a toehold. I am not going to give an inch to any demonic spirit or to any evil. But I have been given authority by God Almighty to protect that home and to keep that home and keep all evil and darkness out of that home. And so places and countries, if you would hear me tonight, that are spiritually dark, they are not just that way because God made them that way. God was not prejudiced to certain countries across this globe. He didn't just say, I want to make this country spiritually dark and this other place less dark. But you look at the history and you study it. Pastor Grant and I were talking over lunch and we both had the common interest of history. You look at the history of certain countries. They are spiritually dark because of years, perhaps centuries, of idolatry or pagan religion, forms of witchcraft, or even sometimes outright satanic worship without a true apostolic light. Or not to be mean tonight, but to be honest, without even a dimmer of some type of artificial Christian light. As a result, these places have become a haven for demonic activity. In other words, the actions of humanity makes a place conducive to darkness. I want to tell you tonight, as a human being, I am not going to make allowance for darkness. But with all that is within me, I am going to be a channel of God's light. I am going to let God's light flow through me and into me. And I am going to forsake all darkness. Satan and demonic spirits are not interested in places, but they are interested in people. I don't believe that you can go to some far out place such as the North or the South Pole And you would find demonic spirits there trying to break apart the icebergs just because they want to create havoc. You look at the story in the book of Job where Satan came to God with the sons of God and they presented themselves before the Lord. And what happened was the Lord asked him, "From whence comest thou?" And he said, "From going to and fro and up and down throughout the earth." What was Satan doing as he was traveling throughout this globe? Was he looking for nice weather? If he was, he'd probably go to Southern California for where we're from. Was he looking for a nice place that he could set up his feet? No. You can find the answer in the very next scripture because the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" In other words, God knew what his intentions were. His intentions were to look for humanity, for a man or a woman that he could create havoc in their life because Satan is going to hell and misery loves company. My wife and I, in our various travels, we came to a city. You may have heard of it, being from Texas, Huntsville, Texas. As we were there, it's a very interesting place. In fact, in and around that city, there's no less than 8 prisons from what I've been told. And as we stayed there on the grounds, one of the good men there at the church was actually an officer at one of the local prisons. And as he was there, we got to talking and he told me, it's very different from California where we're from. California, if you're put on death row, more than likely you will be there for years. In fact, California may have the most prisoners on death row. But if you're in death row in California, you'll probably die of natural causes before you're ever actually executed. It's such a long wait. But if you're put on death row in Texas, you probably better believe you're going to be put to death because they are very adamant about that. And so he told me at a time where every prisoner that is executed in the state of Texas, they are executed at the prison in Huntsville. And so the prison is actually in the downtown area. And he began to tell me about a time when he used to work there at that particular prison. And he told me as he would walk the halls, it was so dark. It was so ugly. He said it was almost like you could feel a thick demonic presence. What was it that he felt? Was it just like that the demonic spirits liked the feel of that place? No, I want to tell you, it was the actions of humanity. It is the actions of humanity that make a place conducive to demonic activity. So we find that there are places in darkness. And let me tell you, there may be someone here today that has walked into the house of God that you may feel that your life is in the grips of darkness. But I've come not just to tell you about the darkness. I've come to tell you about the light. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, God said that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then when I will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm so thankful today. It's not just if my people, it's not just limited to the nation of Israel, but if a people, if there's a man, if there's a woman, if there's a young person that can cry out to God, if they can humble themselves, if they can pray unto the God of heaven and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will get the attention of the God that made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he could bring forth healing into their life. God, if we invite him in, if we allow him to rule and to reign, he is able to defeat darkness. And he is able to bring forth his glorious light. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is called the God of this world not because he has power like God, but because humanity, as a result of their actions, have crowned Satan God. But if you put your faith in Jesus, if you are obedient to the gospel, his light will begin to shine into your life. For John 1:4 says that him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Another translation puts verse 5 like this. It says, the light still shines in darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. I want to tell you, the church has survived throughout the years and throughout the ages. The darkness has worked hard to try to put it out. But I'm so thankful here tonight that the light has never been put out. The devil has never succeeded. This world has never succeeded in putting the church's light out. When my wife and I first got married, of course, we came from California, from the Los Angeles area. And soon after we got married, the Lord opened up a great door. We began to teach Bible studies in a quaint, nice little town there. You may have heard of it. It's called Compton. I'm actually joking. It's one of the worst parts of Los Angeles, a place that is overrun by drugs, gangs, murders. In fact, I have not seen it, nor do I really want to see it, but there was a movie that made it infamous called Straight Out of Compton. And so the Lord opened up a door for us to go there. And there was a lady named Rosario. And we began to teach her Bible studies. In fact, she lived in a certain complex, government funded, where a lot of people were recovering from drugs. And so she lived there with her husband and their 5 children. She had went through a lot of heartache and heart pain as a result of her decisions. At one time, she had lost her children, all of them, to the state. And so they were just trying to make their way along, and they came to the church. Or actually, they didn't even come to the church. They had come to a youth event we had had. And so we began to teach Bible studies. And it was so exciting to see the light of God's glorious gospel begin to punch holes through the darkness that had held their family bound. I'll never forget the day as Rosario and Bethel, it was like the light bulb had come on, and they came to the church and they said, we want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Her oldest son, who had seen so much devastation, this boy who had experienced so much turmoil, so much hurt, we saw the day when he was baptized in the name of Jesus. Their second oldest daughter, she was not even maybe 7 years old or younger. We were there when she received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We were there when she got baptized in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, Jesus punched a hole through the darkness that had held that family bound. The story doesn't stop there. It went trickled on because it was actually his brother-in-law and sister. They both came. They both received the Holy Ghost. They also lived there recovering drug addicts. And they were both filled with the Holy Ghost. They were both baptized in the name of Jesus. It didn't stop there. There was a lady named Ethel. She actually was in a wheelchair, had experienced a stroke. I was there when she came and she got baptized in Jesus' name. She couldn't move. My brother actually was going to university at the time. I'm actually the runt of the family, believe it or not. He's 6'4". He's a buff guy. He came that day of visiting down from the university. He lifted her up with both arms into the baptistry. And we've seen her baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm so excited today that Jesus isn't still in the business of punching holes through the darkness. And so we see that God holds the power. God holds the ability to punch the hole through the darkness. 2 Samuel 22:10 says that he bowed the heavens also and came down. And the Bible says that darkness was under his feet. I am not afraid of the darkness, spiritual darkness. When my wife and I first ventured over into the mission field, we first went to Turkey. We actually lived in Antioch, now called Antakya. And it was only a whopping 14 miles north of the Syrian border. 14 miles north of a place where tens, maybe hundreds of thousands have lost their lives as a result of the bloody Syrian war. And now you got ISIS in the mix. In fact, the rebel army was based in our town. And many people were concerned for us. To be honest with you, I know it's recorded, but I about gave my in-laws a heart attack. What are you doing taking our grandchild and our daughter? But let me tell you, when God calls, you got to respond. And so we went there and it was dark, but nevertheless, God gave us power. And I remember one time they had had a bombing a neighboring town near closer to the border than we were. And the word around town was that there was close to 200 people that had died as a result of this bombing. And so they were all concerned because the word around town was that they were going to do another suicide bombing. And they were going to try to kill as many people as possible. And so we were walking one day in the city center, the place where you would find masses of people. And as we were walking there, my dear wife, she said, "Babe, I think we need to pray. I just feel danger." And so we stopped there. We couldn't do a big outright prayer, but just my wife, myself, and little Esther, we stopped and we began to pray and we walked on. Later on, we found out that at that same place and at that same day, there had been a suicide bomber with bombs strapped to his body, ready to detonate that bomb and kill as many people as possible. But before he could detonate that bomb, the secret police caught him and arrested him, and not one person ever died. I tell you, it wasn't a coincidence. It was the hand of God. I don't have to be afraid of darkness because I got a God that holds me in the palm of his hand. And God said that darkness is under his feet. Could you clap your hands to God? Because we had access to that same promise. Let me take you for just a moment to a place in Greece, a place called Delphi. Some of you may have heard of it, especially if you like history, but in ancient times, it was to the Greeks in the days of Greek mythology, it was considered to them the center of the known world. They thought it was where heaven and earth met. It was a place where they thought that man was closest to God, a center of worship for Apollo, Zeus's son in Greek mythology. And people would come from all over the world to inquire of the oracle of Delphi, whereby they thought that they could hear from the spirit of Apollo. And so they would ask that priestess, they also called her the Pythia, which is basically a derivative of the word Python. They would ask of her, and history says that Alexander the Great came to inquire of the Pythia, the oracle or the priestess. History says that Socrates came to inquire of her. She sat on a type of stool over a deep crack in the earth through which a gas that was high in ethylene came out. And in mythology, Python to the Greeks was the guardian, they thought, of the oracle, whose body had fallen into this fissure and fumes arose from its decomposing body. In reality, it was probably a demonic spirit. And so what happened was she would become intoxicated by these fumes that were coming out of the earth. And the priestess would go into a trance, allowing, they believe, Apollo to possess her spirit. And she spoke with the priest interpreting or translating. Let me bring it on down to the scriptures in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying," or fortune telling. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee to come out in the name of Jesus Christ.' And it came out, and I commanded in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of her gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." You look at that scripture in the original Greek, that word divination. She was possessed by a spirit of divination. In the original Greek, it's literally translated Python. She was possessed by the spirit of Python, a spirit that to the ancient Greeks was associated with Delphi. Now, and this, I want to tell you, this girl in Philippi, modern day Greece, I want to tell you that she was not just some wacko. She wasn't just somebody that they had just disregarded, had just escaped from an insane asylum. But the Bible says that she made her masters much gain by Suse. She held the crowds captive by these demonic powers. But I want to tell you, I like the rest of the story, because we read that there came a man of God along, the Apostle Paul, and he prayed over her, commanded the spirit to come out. And when he did, Jesus punched a hole through the darkness that held her bound. It doesn't matter what may hold you bound. It doesn't matter what you have come in with. I serve a God who is able. I serve a God who is powerful. I serve a God who can set the captive free. I know that when I was younger, I used to like to look at the cartoon section of the newspaper. And I have a particular memory of one comic strip. And it was kind of funny, because in that comic strip, there was a character, and while he was there in that strip, he sat there, or he stood there, and there was sunshine, and it was bright. It just was really nice, kind of like a really nice day. And in that same comic strip, in the same room, or the same, not just a few feet away, there stood another character, and there was a dark cloud. But the funny thing was, it was just over him. It was just raining on him, and there was all this storm that was just over him. I want to tell you today, you can look at it in a spiritual light. You may have come into the house of God with a dark cloud of despair. You may have come into the house of God with a dark cloud of heaviness, or suicide, or hopelessness. And you may look across the church and see somebody that has a totally different perspective, and somebody that is smiling and they're in the light. Let me tell you, Jesus can bring you into that light also. Jesus wants to pull you out of that darkness and pull you out of that dark cloud. If you would have just allowed God's spirit to move, if you would allow Jesus to punch a hole through your darkness. My wife and I were in Istanbul, Turkey, for a conference there in the year 2012. And as we were there, it was a very interesting conference, because what had happened was, and still now, there had been a great open door. And there was hundreds of Iranians that were coming, flooding across the border. Iran borders Turkey. They were flooding across the border. And as they were seeking out Jesus. Iran, one of the most oppressive countries on the face of this globe, they tell me, some of the Iranians, that if a woman was there dressed as some of them are in America, they would be put in prison and beat. It's a Sharia law country. If you convert from Islam to Christianity, you are in danger of being imprisoned. If you are a pastor there, you're in danger of losing your life. But we went to this conference where there was many that had come out of this dark country. And I witnessed with my own eyes as heaven touched down on the earth. And I saw 45 of them receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. I saw as Jesus reached forth his hand into one of the darkest countries of this world. And he said, I'm going to rescue you, and I'm going to bring you into my light. I've come to tell you today, let your faith soar, because God, if you would allow, if you say, Jesus, I'm willing to try you, I'm willing, Lord God, to give you my life, he can rescue you out of the worst darkness, even in the face of this world. I think of so many testimonies, and if we would pass the microphone around, how many of you could give powerful testimonies of Jesus rescuing you out of darkness? And you know what? Doesn't matter what you may have come in with. There have been people that came to church and they had no intention of serving God. They had no intention of making a change. But the Spirit of God began to move on them. And as they responded, Jesus punched a hole through that darkness. When I was a younger preacher, I wasn't married yet. I remember particularly we would have two services. And so they had an evangelist that had come to our church. In the morning service, at the end of that service, or during the service at some time, he had said, if you do not bring a visitor to church tonight, you will not have a seat to sit in. And so, Bishop, to be honest with you, afterwards, I got a little bit thinking about it, and I said, wow, young preacher, I'm going to be so embarrassed if I have to come to church tonight, and I have to be one of the ones standing because I didn't bring a visitor to church. And so I'd always try to reach out to people, and as I began to call, I was so disappointed because one after the other began to tell me, I cannot come to church tonight. And so to be honest with you, I began to get a little bit nervous and thought, what am I going to do? I don't want to be one of the ones standing embarrassed because I didn't bring a visitor to church tonight. And so I did something. I don't know if it was the leading of God or if it was just my ignorance, but I did it anyways. I said, I'm going to go to one of the worst parts of town, and I'm going to go to a place where there was alcoholics and drug addicts, and I'm going to find me a visitor to bring to the house of God. And so I went there in my little car. I was not yet married. And I pulled up. And I actually, there was a couple heroin addicts. I said, you want to come to church with me tonight? And they said, yes. I said, come in. Let's go to the house of God. You could have not found a prouder young man that day because I was not hacking at the stand up. And I had brought a couple visitors with me to the house of God. They came with me to church that night. And the thing was, it became apparent that they were both high out of their mind. As I drove to church, they were both nodding out. They could not keep their head up. But I drove up and I parked the car, and they both came into with me, and they sat in the back pew, and both of them were there, and they could just not keep their head up in church. At the end of that service, the preacher called an altar call. And as he did, I invited them both up with me to come to the altar and pray. One of them said, yes, I will come up with you and pray. And the other one said no. The one that wanted to come up with me and pray, he walked up to the front with this young man, this young single man, and I brought him up there. I began to tell him about repentance. He began to repent before the Lord earnestly and sincerely. And he began to lift up his hands to heaven and full of faith. I just had enough faith to believe that God can fill anyone with the Holy Ghost. I laid hands in his head, and I want to tell you, it was not just a matter of minutes before he was speaking in tongues as God had filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The rest of the story is this. When God filled him with the Holy Ghost, God did a miracle. He looked at me, he said, wow. He was instantly sober and in his right mind. He had been high, but let me tell you, that high was no match for the Most High. I'm so thankful here tonight. We know the Most High, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. I don't have to touch drugs or alcohol because I have the joy of the Lord, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Could you clap your hands unto God? I'm going to come to a close. We had just moved over to Greece from Turkey. And Elder Brother Strickland, who was the pastor of the Crossroads, he was just moved over the first week. And he was going to be gone. And so he had asked me to preach in his absence. So I was there preaching at that church. And to be honest with you, my main objective that service was just for everything to go right. I don't want there to be nothing out of order, just everything just go right. If I could just have a normal service. Well, the Lord actually saw differently. The week before, prior, there had been a lady that had brought their son to be prayed for. And during that time, God healed him. And so the next week they came back. And as they did, she came. That was a service I was there. And as they were kind of praying in the altar, there was a stir. And it became apparent that this lady had demonic spirits. And so they're a praying church. They begin to seek the Lord. And I just want to tell you that at the end of that service, this lady that had had demonic spirits, the spirits went out and the Spirit of God came in. Jesus punched a hole through her darkness. The next week they came back and they dedicated that little boy to God. The next week they came back and both of them were baptized in the name of Jesus. The next week, they came back, and her husband was filled with the Holy Ghost. I saw Jesus punch a hole through the darkness of that family. Could we please stand right now? As the altar workers team comes forward, I want to tell you, just in closing this, don't ever think that God can do it in others' lives, but God can't do it in your life. I remember when my wife was, she and I were not yet married, but she was there at the community college where she was attending. She was my girlfriend at the time, and she called me, and there had been a man there that was trying to get her attention, making her feel uncomfortable. And so me, being the good boyfriend that I was, said, well, do you want me to take care of you? Of course, I didn't do that. But it became apparent after she had talked for some time that he was deaf and mute. He could not speak. He could not hear. And so he came to church because around that same time, our niece had taken up sign language. And so we came to church and he came. My wife and I had already went to the mission field and we came back to one of the camp meetings there. And as we are, if we hadn't left, we were just about to go. We were walking through a big old camp meeting, a big auditorium. We were walking through the very back. And from the front, we heard a shrill noise. We turned and we said, what is that noise? And my wife could just kind of make up out in the distance that Chris, that deaf and mute man that could not speak, God opened up his mouth and God filled it with the heavenly language as he had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. These altars are open right now. I invite you to come. You are not beyond God's reach. Saints of God, come forward. Say, Lord, I want to be used as a tool to tear shreds into the darkness that may hold people bound. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's open to you. Will you respond? Will you let God do a work in your life? Will you let God put back your life back together? Will you let Jesus tear a hole through the darkness that may hold you?